Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming. Tonight we'll revisit a conversation with a doo-wop legend who just passed away, Eugene Pitt. Eugene Pitt and the Jive 5 gave us doo-wop starting in 1961. Later in the 60s, it was soul. He also provided short musical bumpers for Nickelodeon and HBO Showtime. Mr. Pitt passed away June 29th, 4 months shy of his 81st birthday, and he was performing until the end. We're going to start tonight with Larry Chance. Larry Chance and the Earls are part of an all-star lineup with a concert coming to San Bernardino soon. That's Legends of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll, Volume 2.
Let them talk if they want to.
Remember then, maybe the biggest for you guys, but so much other nice stuff out there. Life is but a dream, one quick example, were the Hi-Hatters, the same type of group with just a different name.
Well, we had planned on buying white tails and tucks with spats and top hats and canes and gloves.
Wow.
But we had no money. So each person in the group had a different idea of what the name should be. So I said, look, the fairest thing would be I'll open up a dictionary, I'll close my eyes, and I'll whatever page it lands on, whatever it lands on, that's what we'll call the group. And it landed on the word Earl, nobleman of high rank. I said, well, that's it, we're the Earls.
Yeah.
And that's how that came about. And I always said if I had to move my finger just a hair, we could have been the ears.
And is this also the same time when you guys became the Earls? This is the same time that you changed your name to Chance. And was this a legal change, by the way, or just totally for the show?
It's a legal change. My wife, who was the owner of Old Town Records, decided that he wanted me to do a couple of singles. In fact, I did one on his Barry label called Let Them Talk. Flipside was called Promise or Anything. It came out as Larry Chance, and it came about this way. He said, I want you to do a single. I said, no, I'm going to stay with the group. Come on, take a chance. You do a single. I said, I want to stay with the group. Take a chance. What do you got to lose? Take a chance. If the single makes it, you take your boys with you. Take a chance. I like that. Larry Chance, that's what we'll call you. That's how that came about.
Oh, wow. That's a great one. So I know you were born in Philly, not going to New York, not going to the Bronx until you were about 15. But when you were still in Philadelphia, were you doing anything musically?
Well, I was singing every time I could. You know, if some guys got together in the boys' room or on a corner and sang, I'd join in.
Okay, but nothing as...
formally as one specific study group, no.
Okay, gotcha. So that happened then. You became the Hi-Hatters and then eventually the Earls. You have had at least a couple of guys in the band that played with Dion at some point. That really makes me want to ask. I know that you were inspired by the sight of these burn barrels and groups on so many street corners.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There were groups in every corner in Philly, and especially the Bronx when I got there. And guys would go in the boys' rooms and sing, you know, between classes. And I always joined in. You know, I've always loved music. That's how that came about.
Were there other groupings on, say, just next corner over that also became huge that folks...
Oh, sure. The Mellow Kings were only blocks away. Dion and the Belmonts, the Regents. So many, yeah. The Chantels, my He's So Fine girls, they were also from the Bronx. The Chiffons, so there were so many.
Well, okay. I expected you to name a name or two. That's... Let's look at before some of the bigger ones, like Remember Then. We'll get to that in just a second. But Looking for My Baby, this one came earlier. And this is really a fun one. Did this chart at all? How did
it
this
went
one...
bubbling under.
Oh, no.
I loved that record. I don't know why, but I did. I thought it was, maybe it came out a year or two too late or something. I don't know. But, you know, also, Rome Records didn't have the greatest distributorship, sad to say. You know, they were a small label. But I thought Looking for My Baby was actually a better record than Life is But a Dream.
I'd have to say, yeah, because it has this hook that gets you right away.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Yeah, and the other one is a wonderful, as you said it, Acapulco. But we'll get to that later on as well.
Thank you.
So then in 1962 or so, that's when we got Remember Then. That one came from writers from the Brill Building. I forget their names at the moment, but how did you guys get that song? Was it a label bringing the song to you? How do you get something from the Brill Building?
Actually, it came to us as Remember When.
Oh.
And it was written by Tony Powers, and I forget the name of the other woman. Was Remember When. We had auditioned for it for Stan Vincent. Stan liked the song, but he said it needed some changes. And he rewrote it, and it became Remember Then. But then I believe that Tony Powers went after him, and they ended up settling, and both names were on the song when it became Remember Then.
You were just fortunate, him having heard the song. That is really nice. Now, I will admit at this point that I knew of the song first because of Sha Na Na. But I understand Jimmy Powell tried to do a UK version of it. I never heard this version. Have you?
I don't know. I've heard a French version, an Italian version. The Latin lads did my song Never in Spanish. You know, there are so many versions of it now.
Okay.
I'm proud to say we were first.
That's right. And it was a great, great one. And again, another fun tune. There are other records that I know that charted, but I don't know when or where. Never, for example. This was top five on more the local charts than the national. Is that correct?
It was on the national charts, and it was a top five record in New York, Philly.
I guess I didn't realize, and I don't think that they do this anymore, if they have charts for New York or charts for Philly. I think I know of now.
Yeah, absolutely. Different locations would have their own charts.
I kind of wish that they still did that today. That would be
I do, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know, radio's changed, and it's a pleasure to have people like you that not only are allowed to use your personality, but you help keep this particular genre of music alive.
Oh.
Because without you, we don't exist anymore. I'm very appreciative, and I thank you for it.
Oh, well, you know what? I thank you for it. And I've said this many times in these interviews, and sometimes it even makes it to the air, but I believe you're right in between my father's age and my mother's age. And so I was actually listening to a lot of doo-wop when I was a kid and a great fan of doo-wop long before I started into Led Zeppelin or Styx or Queen or some of those groups. But so I thank you for
it. I like some of those too.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. Well, some you just have to.
On the streets of the Bronx is where I wanna be. Standing on the corner singing good old harmony.
Life is but a dream. Okay, we mentioned that one earlier. And again, I saw a recording of you guys doing this one, in your words, Acapulco. So, I really appreciated that. I lost some coffee on that one. In performance these days, especially when you're sharing the bill with many other artists on a showcase concert, so less time on stage, do you still work in some Acapulco into your performance?
Yes, we do. I throw in at least one.
Good.
It's how we started. It's really the roots of doo-wop, where people singing on the corner with no music. You know, our music might have been a cowbell or a tambourine at most. We made music with our voices.
That's true. Have you seen any of these movies, Pitch Perfect and all this kind of thing? There's a lot of acapella revival. You have me saying it wrong now. There's a lot of...
Oh, there is. There is a big movement again with acapella. And, you know, there are movies like A Bronx Tale.
Love that.
You know, kids are singing. You hear that sound of an acapella group singing a song called Back on the Streets of the Bronx,
yeah,
which we actually put together for Chaz. Our version was the original version, which was an up-tempo version.
Mm-hmm.
But the producers of the film wanted it as a ballad. So there's still a lot of great movie soundtracks that are coming out using doo-wop and some acapella numbers.
And something else, again, with your performances these days, I hope that no matter how many other folks are on the bill, it's still very much, I'd say, a comedy act along with the singing. You guys are very interactive and get people laughing. And so that's something really, really nice as well.
On the streets of the Bronx.
On the streets of the Bronx.
The streets of the Bronx is where I wanna be.
music from the Earls in conversation with Larry Chance. The Earls are part of the bill with Legends of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll Volume 2, along with Norman Fox and the Rob Roys, Charles Weldon, Jimmy Clanton, Kathy Young, Gene Chandler, Sonny Turner of the Platters, and the Dukes of Doo-Wop. That's at the California Theater in San Bernardino, August 18th. More at affordablemusicproductions.com. More with Larry Chance just ahead. Later, remembering a doo-wop legend who just passed away, Mr. Eugene Pitt of the Jive 5. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Later in the program, we'll revisit an interview with a doo-wop legend, Eugene Pitt. Mr. Pitt passed away June 29th at the age of 80. First, though, back to Larry Chance with the Earls, part of the lineup with Legends of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll Volume 2. The complete lineup and more at affordablemusicproductions.com.
Will you take part in but a dream is what you make it. Always try to get.
Let's look at Life is But a Dream.
When we went to Rome Records, Trey loved that song, and I did too. But he said, we have to do it a little differently. Maybe we'll start it as a ballad and then do it up-tempo. We decided to do it a lot different. In fact, I'll tell you an odd story. Whenever
please.
I worked with the Harptones,
uh-huh.
I never did that song. And it was written by their keyboard player. And he would ask me so many times, how come you don't do it? And I said, if you can't do it better, do it differently. And we did it differently. But out of respect, I just wouldn't do it on the same bill.
Nice.
Willie Winfield and the Harptones and I are very close. He's asked me 100 times to do it, but I won't do it when he's on the bill.
That makes sense. It's respectful, and people would want to hear him
original,
do it, too.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. Now, when you did it, it seems like back then, 50s and definitely going into the 60s, folks covering other people's material, it didn't seem so much as what we look at today as somebody doing a, quote, cover. Does that...
Right. Well, they weren't always covers because often it was the same. As an example, Life is But a Dream by the Harptones was a ballad.
Yes,
we
yes.
did it up to Life is But a Dream. So it was the same song, but an entirely different version.
Other recordings that I wrote down include Looking for My Baby and Kissing. Were those charters?
Well, Kissing and Cry, Cry, Cry were starting to climb the charts, and along came the British invasion.
Okay.
And it kind of killed those two. They got wonderful reviews.
Yeah, okay.
But the British invasion at that time kind of destroyed doo-wop, actually.
Well, that is why I had Kissing written right above, asking how did the British invasion affect the Earls.
Oh, it killed us. If you weren't the Four Seasons, the Beach Boys, Jay and the Americans, or Motown, you didn't get played. You did not get played, and that's just how it was.
At this point, you suddenly had to be huge or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So what we did, we became a dance band. And when Joey D left the Peppermint Lounge, we would go to places like the Peppermint Lounge. And we went to a place called the Riviera Lounge 5 nights a week. We went for a two-week engagement and stayed for 107 weeks. Yes, and every Friday and Saturday, they'd have all the Motown acts. Every Motown act would come in on the weekends, and we'd play dance music. They'd do a show, and then we'd go play more dance music.
Okay.
But it kept me in the business, you know, and then I moved to the Catskills.
Okay, well, there you
Catskill
go.
Catskill Mountains, New York, what they call the Bush Belt. Yes. I did my solo act, and I worked with people like Alan King and Howie Mandel and Joy Behar and Red Buttons and so forth.
That was later 60s?
You know, I've always been in the business. It's the only thing I live for.
When you were working those dance band gigs that you were just speaking of in between other acts from all the Motown legends, did you end up backing some of these legends then? Did
yes.
they? Yeah?
Yes, my guys backed Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, the Four Tops, Jackie Wilson, yeah.
Oh, wow, nice.
Benny King would bring in his own band. Some brought in their own band and were self-contained, but those that weren't, my guys backed.
Any times where you did an unexpected duet with somebody out of the Motown world?
With Tommy Terrell.
Yeah?
At the Peppermint Lounge, yeah, Tommy would come in now and then. Adam Wade, I don't know if you remember Adam Wade, quite a few. And they were wonderful people, too. Not just, you know, great performers. They were, for the most part, just nice guys, and they had no airs about them. They were a pleasure to work with.
And that's how you hope that it would be. That's
yeah, and I
definitely...
got to work with people like Red Buttons and just lovely man to open for. He was just terrific.
Now, you had already had quite a recording career before this, but it just occurred to me to ask, with, say, Red Buttons, and you named a few other comedians, did you learn anything from these seasoned comedians that you, as a singer, could take into your act?
Well, I've always had an edge for comedy.
True.
In fact, I don't know how familiar you would be with Don Imus.
Yes,
and the Imus in the Morning Show. I spent 10 years on that show doing characters. So I've always had an edge for comedy. And in fact, now and then, I would feed a couple of things to some of the comics to try. So I've always had that edge, comedy edge. I just love to make people laugh.
Sweet.
You know what it is? What I did learn from them is that it's called entertainment. It's not just the music. It's you want people to leave and say, that was fun. And
yep.
That's what I try to do.
Well,
yeah, I want them to just have had a great experience. Not just music, but music, laughter. And then I do a song called I Believe, which I dedicate to our fighting men or our veterans, which will put tears in some eyes. Mm. I like to bring out emotions in everyone so that when they leave, they just know that they had a good time.
Wonderful. You know what? I believe we mentioned Streets of the Bronx earlier. Bronx Tale. Loved that one, but completely autobiographical? Streets.
Pretty much so, yeah.
Yeah? How did it come about? Or were you trying to write a song?
Chaz had a one-man play. Bronx Tale was originally a one-man show. He played 18 characters. And Robert De Niro had seen the show, and Robert loved it. And he wanted to make a film. So Chaz called, and he said, guys, I need a tune for my show. It's going to be a motion picture. So we came up with On the Streets of the Bronx. That's where I want to be. Stand up on the corner, sing a good old harmony, waiting for the man to come along and discover me.
So this...
My father preaches, son, please get a job. I don't want to work. I want to be a singing star. Drive up and down the Bronx in my brand new shiny car. As I said, it became a ballad in the film because the producers wanted it as a ballad. It's fun. We try to slip that one in when we have enough time on stage. We'll do the original version of that song.
I hope so. If I don't see it this time, I'll see you again.
I hope so.
I've got just a few more things for you, and I appreciate your time very, very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Explain for folks who Geraldo Santana Banana and Rainbow Johnson are.
Don Imus called me one day, and we had the same record producer, which is how Don and I met, actually. And his brother Fred was a fine country music writer, but he couldn't sing. So they needed someone to sing his songs and make demos so he could send them around in Nashville. And they chose me. And I remember being in the studio, and I did one of the songs, and Don said, can you do that a key higher? And I said, are you crazy? And he knew I could do these things. When he came back from Cleveland, back to New York here to NBC Radio, he gave me a call. He said, I have an idea. He said, you know, Channel 9 has a vice president and general manager who expresses his editorial opinion. I want to have a vice president and general manager in charge of editorial opinion. And he'll be a cross between Rosanna Santana and Geraldo Rivera. What do you think? We'll call him Geraldo Santana Banana. I said, it's not a problem, man. I can do that. Aren't you kidding me? It's going to be a good time. And so along came Rainbow Johnson. I did song parodies. I would do all the parts. You know, say, killing me and the boys got a little ditty for you. And we do a little, you know. As I said, I love comedy. I love making people laugh.
Name me an Earl song that you feel should have been bigger. And so maybe it didn't get proper distribution. We were talking about that. Maybe it was just simply swallowed up by other songs that were just, you know.
Well, there were two, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Actually, three.
Okay.
Three songs that I felt were going to do it. And all three got great reviews.
Okay.
One was in 1967.
67.
And it was released on ABC Paramount, produced by George Kerr, and it was called It's Been a Long Time Coming.
Hmm.
And, the second was Cry, Cry, Cry.
Oh, okay.
Cry, cry, cry. Nimma, nimma, nimma.
Yeah,
I felt that was a better recording than Remember Then or Never. But again, I think that was just about the beginning of the British invasion, and that went to bubbling under.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that was it. And the other was in the disco era, we did a disco version of Tonight Could Be the Night, the old Velvet set. And it was Cashbox Pick of the Week, Billboard Spotlight Single. The California Disco Association called it the hottest record of the month.
Huh.
Blows my hat off. I still have these reviews.
Yeah.
And that one broke my heart because it was a great record. If I say so myself.
Well, if you can be subjective at this point, it's totally fine. It's always a pleasure, and this was a wonderful pleasure. Thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I'll see you in San Bernardino.
Yes, indeed. Music from the Earls in conversation with Larry Chance. The Earls are part of the bill with Legends of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll Volume 2, along with Norman Fox and the Rob Roys, Charles Weldon, Jimmy Clanton, Kathy Young, Gene Chandler, Sonny Turner of the Platters, and the Dukes of Doo-Wop. That's at the California Theater in San Bernardino, August 18th. More at affordablemusicproductions.com. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Let's go now to an interview I had with Mr. Eugene Pitt of the Jive 5. Mr. Pitt passed away June 29th, about 4 months from his 81st birthday. This conversation originally took place 2 years ago, almost to the day. One of the tunes that the Jive 5 had, the song Never Never. I know this isn't the first one, but I'd like to address this. The song Never Never, it makes me think every time. Can you paint a picture of what the neighborhood was like? Brooklyn, folks standing around the burn barrel. Was that you and what became the Jive 5?
Well, back in the days, you know, like there was always guys out on the corner singing harmonies or in the hallways, you know? And I'm one of those guys. I sang in the hallway.
Okay.
Never Never was a song that I wrote. We had a recording date and we didn't have a song, so I wrote it on the way to the studio.
Oh, you had the date before you had the material for it.
That's right.
Oh, beautiful. Oh my gosh. You know, talking about the street corner groups, J.T. Carter described the scene, in essence, you were either a singer or, what he said, a warrior. So is that how it was in Brooklyn as well?
Definitely. That happened in the same way. Wherever you find music, you will find that same routine. Well, I was a singer, and a lot of guys, you know, that wasn't singing was out there fighting.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't a fighter. I was a singer. You can let Michael tell you that. He wasn't a fighter either. He was a lover.
That's right. That's right. Well, JT and the gang, they were Manhattan-based, you guys Brooklyn. Did you ever come across these guys on the corner, or if not JT and the Crests, were there other groups out there on the street corner that became known acts as well?
Oh, yeah. Back in my neighborhood, there was a lot of groups. We had, you know, Little Anthony and the Imperials down the way, and then we had Swain with the Persuasions, and there were always groups all around.
Oh, wow.
And all the groups, they knew each other. Like, we get out on the corner, like, before we even start recording, we get out on the corners and be singing, trying to impress the girls, you know? And that's how we got out there, the Jive 5. Them girls say, oh, that's five Jive, Jive. And we just took that name and ran with it.
Thank you.
Before you guys were the Jive Five, were you also the Genies at one point? Did I read that right?
I sang with the Genies, right? And Lord Johnson and Freddie Jones, they went to Long Beach and they recorded out there, and I stayed in Brooklyn and started the Jive Five.
Gotcha.
So when they went to Long Beach, they went out there and recorded Who's Knocking at My Door?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Claude Johnson, Freddie Jones, Estelle Williams, and Casco Cleveland and myself. Freddie Jones and Sonny Johnson, like I said, went to Long Beach. And Estelle, she started a group in Brooklyn called Genie and the Girlfriend. And they recorded It's Me Knocking. And I stayed with the Jive Five, and we recorded My True Story and a lot of others.
So the Jive Five, that was just completely named. One of the girls threw that your way. It was not related to the old Count Basie tune, Jive at Five. Nothing like that.
No. No.
But I know that song came out about when you were maybe two, so... One of the first things that you read regarding the Jive Five is that the group, beyond the songs that the group was known for, is that the group outlasted so many of the other doo-wop groups by, in essence, remodeling as a soul group in the later 60s. You went from doo-wop into the soul thing.
Well, what was the reason for that? Because the Jive Five, what we did, we always tried to stay in the music. When the music changed, we changed. During the British invasion, the Jive Five music changed. We went into Happy Man, which was a different type of groove for the Jive Five, and we tried to stay with that time.
Well, that's a great way of looking at it, changing with the times instead of hanging on to a music that... Now, of course, we're here celebrating the music of doo-wop and the fact that you guys are still doing it, but at this point in your history, you were really just changing to fit what was going on the rest of the world.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, 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 love my baby, yeah. We'll have such fun, 'cause I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man. Yeah, baby, I'm a happy man. Whoa, yeah. I'm a happy man. Come on down and sing a song. Sing it just one more time. Oh, yeah. I'm a happy man.
Hey, hey, 19. Hey, hey, 19. Hey, hey, 19. '67, I was a dandy, yeah. Gemini. Moved down to Scarsdale, so young and willing. And where am I?
So a little bit later, after you had remodeled yourself, ended up becoming the Jive Five, spelled with a couple of Y's. What was the suggestion for the Jive?
The reason for that is because at the time, we had lost one of the fellas in the group, passed away. And we went to do shows, and they would say, you know, I hired five guys, and it's only four. And I, you know, tried to explain to them, but they used to dock our money. So we just changed to the Y, so it wouldn't indicate five people.
Okay, okay. Now, with this lineup, you did still have things like I Want You to Be My Baby. That was on Deck, I believe. Now, going back to JT Carter for 1 second, I had him break down for me and for our listeners. I had him break down the way a doo-wop group lays things out. And I'm curious, once I was listening to the later Jive 5 material, comparing it to the earlier doo-wop stuff, beyond the songs themselves, is there a big difference with the vocal arrangements? That is it more of the instrumentation making it a different sound? You've got the Waka Jawa guitar in there as opposed to the vocal harmonies. Was there a huge, huge difference between the way the vocals are laid out when you guys were doing the soul?
No, well, the majority of the songs that the Jive 5 recorded, I did the arranging. I put it the Jive 5 way. So whatever way it came out, that's what the A&R man had to go with.
Okay. Well, that's a great position. So many people are in the position of doing what management was trying to tell them to do, but you had more saying.
Yeah, it was more of an inside feeling. Like we recorded a Steely Dan, A19.
Yeah?
And I took that and I did my arrangement, and you see how the Jive 5 brought it out.
That is one that I have to track down.
You don't have A19?
I don't have your version of it.
Oh, you gotta get it.
No, I'm gonna track it down. If there's a cool cover of it, I definitely wanna hear it. Leaving that's gonna be playing in the background as we discuss this one. Did you actually know the Steely Dan guys, or was this just a tune that you heard, contacted the management, wanted to redo it?
This was a tune that I heard and I just wanted to do it my way.
Okay.
A19. We can dance together. No, we can't even talk at all. Please, please, take me along. When you
slide on down.
Music from the Jive 5 and conversation with Eugene Pitt. Mr. Pitt passed away June 29th at the age of 80. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. This is going back earlier into the career again, but let's go back now to 1961, the first release, a single, My True Story. I understand that you co-wrote this one, and I'd love to hear the inspiration for the song, whether it's the song itself or maybe even just the sound you were going for.
Well, at the time, like I said, I was singing with Genies, and I met this here guy, Oscar Walser. And he wanted to bring me to a record label, which was Beltone. Now, when I went to Beltone, he set up an audition for the group, the original Jive 5. And we went to Beltone, and we were singing songs for Les Kayan, who was the president. And he said, wow, you guys could really sing. You know, I like all the stuff you're doing. He said, do you have any more songs? I said, well, we have a song we don't like. And he said, why you don't like it? I said, because it's a true story. He said, let me hear it. I sang him My True Story. He said, that's a hit. Now, I didn't co-write it with anyone. I wrote the song. It's just that they put their names on it because they did the music arrangement.
Ah, in that business, right.
And that's what they did back then. You know, when you come to a record company with a song, they want 50% of the publishing because they put their music to it.
And My True Story, it really is a true story.
It's a true story.
How did it start? Tell me the event that happened that made this have to become a song. You were longing after some girl. Something happened that made this become a song.
This was a true story because, well, the girl that I wrote the song about, Phyllis Little, that was her name. She and I, we had a falling out, and she wound up marrying my best friend, Sonny. And I don't know, but somewhere down the line, their marriage didn't turn out that well, and God bless, she passed on. But that was what the song was about. Names have been changed because I didn't want people to really know who she was. But they know now because I put a picture in Phil Goya's. He had a book, They All Sang on the Corner. And if you look in that book on the end, there's a picture of Phyllis and I.
Oh, nice. Something else for me to track down then there. Wow. Some of the other songs that the Jive 5 had around this time, a little bit later, not charting as well, but all great tunes. Some, as I mentioned, I was raised on this stuff, so things that I've always loved, things like Holy Gully Callin' Time, These Golden Rings. And so I'm curious about if you have other favorites from the early years that didn't make it as high on the charts that maybe you think should have. Maybe these were the great B-sides that you really wish they were the A-side. Any tunes that really should have seen more light than they did?
Yeah, we had some tunes that we did for ambient sound that I figured should have hit the charts, and they did. Where Do We Go From Here? It was one of my favorite tunes on the ambient sound label. And a good friend of mine, Marsha Vance, she brought that tune to me, and I recorded it just before she passed away. And that's one of my favorite songs, Where Do We Go From Here?
Do you make sure to try to include that in performances these days, or are you really kind of forced to do the bigger hits?
Well, it should have been a hit.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah. We talked about the name change, the Y, with the Jive 5. And at some point in the late 70s, it looks like, you did go back to the Jive 5 with the I's in the spelling again.
Right.
And so is
but
it as simple as...
We were also Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. It was only three of us. So we went out as Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. Then we recorded, when we got the group back together, as Showdown. Then we got me and one of the other guys in the group and had two girls. We were Stink. We've been running all through the music field with different names.
You had more names than the Zodiacs. Wow.
Yeah, Showdown, Sting, Ebony, Ivory, and Jade, the Jive 5 with the two spellings.
Music from the Jive 5 and conversation with Eugene Pitt. Mr. Pitt passed away June 29th at the age of 80. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming.
Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon.
Nick, 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 Nick.
Nickelodeon.
Now, Eugene, I've tracked this stuff down, and believe me, it'll be playing in the background as we speak. The doo-wop bumpers for Nickelodeon.
Okay.
So many people would have seen these and not even realizing for a second that they were hearing you and the Jive 5.
I wrote all the bumpers for the Nickelodeon for about 17 years, and the group they sang the background. I did most of that writing also.
How did this deal come about, you going from a singing group to...
Well, there was a good friend of mine, Tom Pompasella.
Okay.
He came to me and said they have this new company, Nickelodeon, and they want a top of the hour tune. So that's when I wrote Nick, 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 Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I wrote that and he presented it to them. They flipped out over it. And from there, I started getting all the Nickelodeon work, writing the bumpers and a lot of stuff I wrote for Nickelodeon.
This is something that I was not able to track down, but you also did some work on IDs for HBO Family?
The HBO Family, yeah. We did some stuff for them for the Honeymooners. We did some bumpers for them also. Showtime, Showtime, Honeymooners, Showtime, Showtime, Honeymooners.
Oh.
The only place you see the show is right here.
On the HBO,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a lot of that stuff, too.
Oh, man, once again, people are hearing this stuff all the time and not knowing. That's incredible. All right.
Yeah.
Here's one that it wasn't until I was getting ready for this conversation that the song, What Time Is It?, another one of the biggies for the Jive 5, I have to say...
What Time It was written by a friend of mine, Bob Feldman. He came to Belton. He said, Gene, I got a smash record for you. I said, let me hear it. So he said, what time is it? It's time for love. I said, well, yeah, I can take that and put the Jive 5 touch to it, and that's what you got.
Now, I have to say, there is a striking similarity. It is this close to I Only Have Eyes for You.
That was one of their early years, the Flamingos, back in the early 50s.
Right. And anytime I hear What Time Is It?, it makes me think of that song.
Probably because you hear that bass line. Dong, 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 dong.
That's right.
Down, dong, ding, down. That's what you hear. And that's the similar lines that they have in I Only Have Eyes for You.
Once again, what time is it?
So many folks hope to have a career that's lasting only maybe a few years or 5 or 10 years, and you guys, close to 50 years now. That is incredible.
53 years to be exact.
53, my gosh. What is it that just has to be included? I could guess at a few. My True Story, you said? Is that a typical opener or a closer for you?
That's a closer.
Okay. What is the thing that really gets the audience going?
Well, we try to get it every song we sing. Get the audience going.
So if you don't have time for all of your songs, you may just shorten them and make a wonderful medley for us then.
Well, we used to do that also with
okay.
Never Never. Yeah, we did a lot of other songs in the medley. You know, if we push for time, then we'll cut Never Never out and just do Happy Man, My True Story, and What Time Is It?
Nice, okay. Well, I'm a happy man. What time is it? These were a couple of ones that I'd written down, hoping that we would get... I know that there's going to be a lot of people in the audience hoping for them as well. These folks that I named just a little bit ago, Jimmy Stevens and J.T. Carter, Shirley Reeves and Maurice Williams, are any of these folks old compatriots of yours? You had to have been crossing paths with these folks over the years.
Well, yeah. For one, Shirley and I, we went on Dick Clark Caravan of Stars together. I've known Shirley forever.
Oh, my goodness.
She's a real loving person. And her, Mickey, Doris, all of the girls, I'm telling you, we were all real friends.
It'd be a treat to have you guys on the same stage, if not separated by a few minutes.
Well, you know, just doing a show like this, like a family reunion, you know, because you get to see people you haven't seen in years. And I don't know, it's just a good, warm feeling to be there and to be socializing with friends that you haven't seen so long.
Yeah.
It's a loving feeling.
With all these folks that I speak to from the doo-wop era, the British invasion, you know, it really hit these different groups in different ways. And some folks, it killed their career. Other folks, like Maurice Williams, he said that they made money at it, doing Beatles imitations and stuff like that. Just like you said, you adapted to the music that was changing.
Yeah, we adapted to the change of the British invasion. Well, we used to do Day Tripper and Satisfaction back when we did like club dates, where you can do a whole hour and a half, two shows. You know, we did songs like that, you know. But on the regular circuit shows, you know, they only give you three shows and they want you to do your hit.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I know we got a chance to work with Tom Jones, Wet Eddie and the Rebels, Lytton Scott, all the British guys. I worked with them all. Jones became one of my closest friends. Whenever he comes to New York, he used to send his driver and pick up me and be at his best for my group and bring us to the show. Everlasting life. If I had you, I'd have my heaven. Another good friend, Keith Richards.
No
way.
He
got me to do some recordings with Aaron Neville. Thanks to Keith Richards and Mr. West that I got a chance. He did my album, My True Story. He played on it, plus he was the one that got Mr. West to bring me in to do the background.
Oh, my.
Because they recorded My True Story. Yep.
That's another one to track down. This is the beauty of this for me when I get to speak with folks like yourself. It fleshes it out and it makes everything more interconnected. And if that can make it a little bit more real.
Uh-huh.
You've got a flunky that you call a valet. Mercedes, baby.
Now, I did notice, did you not put out some new music not too long ago? And this may actually be a few years ago. Christmas recordings, a few other things?
Yeah, well, I put out a CD, Eugene Pitt, Stepping Out Front. That's when I stepped off from the group and I did some beach music.
Okay. Mr. Pitt, I appreciate your time, your memories, and again, I look forward to seeing you in just a couple weeks now.
All right.
Okay. Have a beautiful
day. God bless you, man. Give my love to the family. Man, it was a pleasure talking to you.
And you as well.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Mr. Eugene Pitt passed away June 29th, just about 4 months from his 81st birthday. He was performing up until the end. We'll miss Eugene. And that wraps up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Larry Chance, and more information on Legends of Doo-Wop and Rock and Roll, Volume 2, at affordablemusicproductions.com. And thanks to Nathan Gothels of Affordable Music Productions. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Jessica Greenwell, Sharina Wadd, Giselle Quapio, Benjamin Perper, and KVCR General Manager Keith Birkfeld. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR is composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVCR's programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org. And thanks again.